Welcome to What in God's Name. He's Chris Owen.
And she is Shayna Appel.
And we are the show that attempts to look at current issues through religious. No, everyone else is doing that. We're looking at contemporary issues through the lens of theology and philosophy, asking our listeners to stay curious, to go deep, and to shine the light.
Shayna, I wanted to bring our listeners up to date with some of our plans for season two.
Oh, we have big plans.
Kick off in the fall.
Big
we
plans.
We do have plans. As we have announced, but I will say it on the show, we will be doing a show in collaboration with the Harvard Interfaith Forum. That show will be recorded live in October to be released in November. Shayna, I'm really looking forward to having that conversation with those people. I think one of the things that one of our values, although it's not articulated in Be Curious, Go Deep, and Shed the Light, it's related
it's
to
in
Be
there.
Curious. It's related to Be Curious.
The religious plurality
is
part.
The religious plurality, yeah. For sure. And so we are grounded in Christianity, although neither of us grew up as Christians. We have found our way to be Christian in this time.
You're grounded in Christianity. I'm grounded in Judeo-Christianity.
I'm grounded in atheism.
Yeah, you're grounded in, I'm grounded in Judeo-Christianity with a dash of Buddhism and occasionally pagan worshiping. So I can't claim to be a high Christologic person.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
But somebody who does.
I keep saying that about you.
Yes.
And I keep rebutting.
I keep correcting
me, which I'm grateful for.
My ordination is in the United Church of Christ. I have great love for the life and ministry of Jesus Christ as recorded in Scripture and as practiced by progressive peoples throughout the ages. That has absolute. I would be lying if I said that hasn't had a tremendous influence on my life. And the Judeo-Christian traditions are the ones that I feel most grounded in, though, like you, love the plural. Like, religion gets really rich when we start looking at how others view things, not always to find commonality, but to be able to also celebrate difference.
Because neither of us was brought up in the Christian faith, I think that gives our show, it drives the love that we have in this show to reach out to different perspectives,
right,
and to try to be inclusive.
We're both converts, so we're both, you know, we're like, oh my God, look what we found. And yeah, I'm sure there's Christians out there in the world listening to the show who are ripping their hair out. But
so Harvard Interfaith Forum conversation will happen. The second thing we are announcing today is that as part of our fall lineup, we'll have an interview with Jeff McDonald. Jeff McDonald is a dual vocation minister and journalist, and our conversation with Jeff will be really focused on his journalistic efforts. He writes for the Christian Science Monitor. He covered the Boston Marathon bombing trial for USA Today. He's got great insights into the world of journalism today and its intersection with religion and with spiritual practice.
And I would suggest maybe reality. Journalism and the intersection with reality, which is something that has to be explored today if you're talking about contemporary journalism.
Yeah. And
that's going to be a great interview.
It's going to be really a lot of fun. I mean, Jeff is so in tune with the way that, and this is not rocket science or anything new to people, but the way that journalistic practice in the age of the internet is a game of getting clicks.
Yeah.
And so therefore it rewards divisiveness, and it rewards a certain kind of shallow, titillating element. And
it rewards a soundbite.
And it rewards the soundbite.
When what's actually needed is a panel discussion. And
so how does this practice of journalism then feed into the dis-ease, the mess?
Well, those sound like those are going to be great shows. We also have some other things we're working on but are too premature to announce at this time, but trust us, it's going to get real interesting.
That's a great teaser, Shayna.
Yes.
Well done on the teaser there. I wanted to re-examine some of the things that I feel like I have learned in doing this show with you. And so we have our core values. Our listeners know our core values of curiosity, depth, and light. And then in our conversations in season one, I kept lifting up this axiom, what I'm calling a what in God's name axiom. And that is the Andrew Breitbart insight that politics is downstream of culture. And I just wanted to tease out with you this word culture for a second, because a lot of people use the word culture and we don't often pause to say what we mean by it. So what I mean by culture, Shana, is the habits of mind and the patterns of behavior of a whole people. So
can you say that again?
Yes, the habits of mind, accustomed ways of thinking, and patterns of behavior. So ways of thinking and also ways of acting that are habitual, accustomed, that are so ingrained in us that we don't even think about them. So for example, you can speak of in our country right now, to use an innocuous example, we live in a car culture. The omnipresence of the automobile colors the way we think about the world and the way we move in the world. It's so ingrained in us that we can hardly imagine life without it.
Yet most people wouldn't identify it as a part of our culture, per se.
Yeah. So that's what I mean by culture. And so part of what I feel like our show does is to try to lift these things up that we don't think about and we don't examine, and to see what it means and how it influences us.
And I hope that while you challenge me always to go deeper into thinking about all of that, I hope we are likewise challenging our listeners to do the same. I looked up the definition of culture.
Close was I?
Well, very. The customary beliefs, social forms, and material traits of a racial, religious, or social group. Also, the characteristic features of everyday existence, such as automobiles.
Does it say that?
No, it doesn't. Such as diversions or a way of life. So there you go. Shared by a people in a place or a culture. A set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices that characterizes an institution or organization. That's fascinating, Chris. What an interesting... Yes.
Yes.
Very interesting core value of our show.
When I say, when Andrew Breitbart says, and I repeat, that politics is downstream of culture...
It explains why things are such a mess.
That leads to a couple of observations. One is that our present political situation was a long time coming. Mm-hmm. The culture, long before our present situation, laid the groundwork for where we are now. So therefore, the second thing that follows then is that our show, we are not about advocating for particular policy positions today, although that might come up. Mm-hmm. We might talk about that, but that's not really our focus.
People who listen will know inherently where we stand on some of that, I think.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I hope that we would keep people guessing if they are on one of the political teams and wants to assume that you and I are on a particular political team.
Okay.
I would hope that we would keep people guessing.
Chris wants us to be in a neutral pulpit. I get it.
Not neutral, but neutral seems wishy-washy.
I hope we're fair. I hope we're fair in really looking at the opinions, the conclusions, the thoughts of those who do not opine, who do not conclude, who do not think as we do.
And I hope that we go deeper than the current political conversation, so that...
Not a high bar.
It's not a high bar. So we should be able to do that.
Yes.
But in so doing, if we're deeper than the current political conversation, quote-unquote conversation, if we're deeper than that and we're thinking more creatively than that, then there may not be existing political categories to contain where we get to.
That would be a hoped for destination.
That's what I hope that we are able to do, or at least that we are able to inspire in our listeners.
Yeah, yeah.
To get to the level of morality, to get to the level
get
of
past the binary
spirit,
for the love of God.
And let me just say one more thing about that. Because we're not advocating for particular policy positions as a primary goal of our conversations. I think of this show as being more about tree planting, which I have said before, but I think it's good to remind, if politics is downstream of culture, then the fruits come later. Mm-hmm. And so part of having a religious view, but it doesn't have to be religious, is that
theological, philosophical,
is you take a broader view.
Right.
Which is what you have to do if you plant a tree.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, let me ask you something, Chris, because this is fascinating. If you're new to the show, you may not know that very often I sit down in a chair in front of a microphone across from Chris, and he will launch into things that I am just not prepared for, which is half of the fun. And one of the things I love about doing this show is that he really keeps me on my toes, and we end up thinking and going out into territory that, you know, I might not otherwise explore on my own. So, Chris, let me just ask you a question. Is there a difference in your mind with what Breitbart said about politics being downstream of culture? Is there a difference in your mind between politics and leadership?
Yes.
What did Breitbart mean?
I think politicians are generally not leaders. Politicians are followers. And so that's part of why I think it's so important to de-emphasize the political. And journalism, to get back to our upcoming interview with Jeffrey McDonald, our journalism today lifts up politics because it gets a lot of clicks, playing off the divide. So if politicians are followers, then where is the leadership coming from?
Well, that was going to be my next question, but it just reminded me of the quote by Margaret Mead, you know, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I agree. I agree. I mean, I don't think that's the only place that change comes from, but I think that is the idea that I'm getting at. And that, to me, drives my perspective on what we're doing, having theological and philosophical perspectives on what's going on in the world. I tend to start with thinking. That's just a personal preference. It's just my style. But I do think ideas are so crucial that that's where I start. And so I think it's important to think clearly about things, and then change can happen.
Hmm. So longtime listeners will recall that I had an opportunity to head out to Standing Rock a couple of years ago. And the impact of Indigenous peoples and being in that camp on some of the ways I think about things has had what I hope will be a permanent effect. You know, when I listen to that Margaret Mead quote, I mean, it's a quote that I love and I've used it often. And I think to myself, well, wait a minute. People aren't the only thing that's ever changed the world. The world has changed the world. The environment has changed the world. Earth, creation, is a vital partner. and how might it change, probably wouldn't change politics, but how might it change leadership if we were to affirm that partnership more deeply? I think Breitbart's right. I mean, politics is downstream of culture. But I guess then particularly, what unsettles me about that statement is that I believe it's true. And then I turn around and go, but wait, if that's true, who's in charge? You know, like,
exactly.
Is it really all chaos
exactly.
theory?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. I resonate with that. And I would just also add that it's not as though politics is not important. Like, I wouldn't want to leave the impression that, it doesn't matter who's the president or who's in Congress or who's running the city council. It matters.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter as much as...
Or it matters differently. In other words, if we're looking at politics and saying maybe politics is more useful as a mirror, and then what's required is course correction.
Yeah.
You know, that Martin Luther King, you know, who was another... along with Whitman, as we were talking about in our last show, another person who could really grasp the excellence, the promise, the hope of America. I mean, I think I lost my thought. Anyhow, I think it's fascinating. I think, oh, he talked about America having lost its moral compass in the midst of the civil rights movement. And if we lost the moral compass for a time during that movement, we have run over it. We have smashed it to smithereens. We have totaled it in this particular time. Anyway, that's how it feels sometimes.
So I think one of the gifts of taking a theological perspective on current events and culture is that it should
long arc,
and it should make politics its appropriate size.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
become outsized.
Yes.
At this point. So that is an axiom that I feel like I've arrived at as part of doing this show with you, Shana, that the Andrew Breitbart politics is downstream of culture. I'm curious if you, in the course of our conversations, any insight that you have had as a result of our continued making, creating this show?
I think that one of the things that I've really loved about what happens here is, you know, I think of myself as a small C Christian, you know, not a real high Christology. And because I came in from outside the faith, I often probably underestimate or in some ways devalue my own Christology, such as it is. One of the things that I have found in doing the show with you is you know, challenge me and stretch me and grow me in these conversations is that, you know, no, I actually have a theology that holds water. I mean, I can think through something, and hopefully there's other people out there who, you know, may or may not identify as a Christian, but can say, yeah, there are certain values within that that I hold dear, and I'm learning a new way to sort of think and move through things. So offering alternatives. The other thing is that between the two of us, and we won't parse this at all, you're the philosopher. I mean, you know, this is not the 4 pages of Kant that I've read, you know, will not carry me through a conversation with you. But I've always loved philosophy. I took a fabulous course called Philosophy and Affirmative Action when I was a student at Hampshire College. Brilliant professor, whose name for the life of me I can't remember, and not because he wasn't brilliant, but because it was that long ago. And the first day of class, I believe we got assignments to read some short articles on philosophy, and then we never talked about philosophy again. We spent the rest of the semester arguing for and against affirmative action, and we all had to play both sides of the field. Now, this is Hampshire College, fairly liberal college. On the first day, the professor asked, "What do you think about affirmative action?" And everybody was like, "Oh, affirmative action, absolutely, definitely. We have to, you know, repair the damages." Everything you'd expect to hear in a, you know, classroom of liberal elitist 20 or something year olds. The last day of class, he asked the question, "So, what do you guys think about affirmative action?" And the answers were, "Well, you know, that's a complicated question." And he stopped us and he said, "And that's philosophy." And like Helen Keller at the well, my world exploded. And I just suddenly like knew this realm of philosophy is a realm that houses, that is big enough to hold what seem like opposing points of view. Of course, then, so the seamless intersection of philosophy and theology is something that I have come to really appreciate that you bring to the show. And which may sound interesting from a Unitarian Universalist, because people might assume if you're a UU, you're immediately more humanist bent, and it's not true of all of us. So yeah, you've given me much more of an appreciation for that, and I hope our listeners are getting that as well.
Thank you for that. I think our show is it's a creative process, it's a creative collaboration, and as we continue to go deeper into making these shows together, we'll find different things that we'll discover. I mean, that's the creative process.
Right.
It's a process of discovery. So we'll continue to discover things about each other. We'll continue to discover ideas that we didn't know, or put things together in a different way that we wouldn't have normally done without the creative collaboration.
Absolutely. And speaking of creative collaboration, if I can for a moment, just turn and speak to our listeners for a moment, because you've now heard what Chris and I think about the show, but of course, we can't possibly know what it actually is without your conversation. So our website is whatingods.com, whatingods.com. Please go there, Facebook us, send us your thoughts, tell us what's jazzing you about the show. What are you hearing here? Are there areas that you wish we would delve more deeply into? Are there areas that you wish we would just stop delving into? We want to hear from you and keep this conversation going.
Be curious, Shana.
Go deep, Chris.
And shine the light. You've been listening to What in God's Name. We're so glad that you could join us. Shana, great to see you.
Always good to see you, Chris.